Go. Welcome to the Idaho Pulse. Today, this is Tea Party Bob, and I've got my good friend Dylan Stocker here today. We're going to, and by the way, just so you know, Dylan Stocker is the host of the Great Idaho Show. So if you have time to listen to him, you'll probably find him on X, either typing in something very important for you to learn, or giving you some good information about maybe even something that's going on in the arms business. Who knows? I mean, he's quite an interesting character. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my good friend Dylan Stocker. We're going to be talking today about a bunch of interesting articles that have been published and conversations that have been had. Not just on X, but on TV and on our radio show. So, without further ado, let me welcome Dylan to the Idaho Pulse, and let's go see what we can do some damage on today, Dylan.
Man, Bob, thanks for the introduction. It's truly an honor to be here again. Of everybody I've met, there are very few that put the time and effort to fact. And fact is where it's at. And we can have opinions on those facts. And Bob, I appreciate your opinion. I hope to give an opinion, but let's stick with some fact stuff. And I encourage y'all to reach out to Bob. At the Gen State Patriot, if you had a question, you could reach out to me, the Great Idaho Show at gmail.com. Let's get y'all involved too. But Bob, thank you.
Oh, and by the way, anybody who wants to subscribe to the Gem State will find our podcast in the Gem State every weekend on the subjects that we're going to be talking about. So, Dylan, where would you like to start today? We've had an awful lot of news in the last couple of days. Had this big speech from our president last night telling you what's going on with the war. We have some implications in Idaho about the DOJ suing us because they want our voting information data. So where do you want to go?
Man, I mean, let's go for we're talking about an Idaho subject. We have the Department of Justice suing Idaho over voter rolls. That's a pretty big one to unpack. There's a lot of ways we can look at this, Bob.
Well, when it comes down to voter rolls, and I will tell you this, I've experienced this problem in the past. So I do want to make sure the voter rolls are clean because when my wife passed away in 2016, it took me almost 4 years to remove her name from the voter rolls. And I mean, I had to go down and talk to the people every time there was an election and I saw her name on the list to take it off. Four times I told them this. I think they finally took it off. But we do not have the kind of aggressive accounting for who should be on the rolls and who should be off the rolls. And I found that out for myself just with this particular situation. So if you can't have an accounting and nobody's really accountable, and these are local people, okay? Everything is local, as my friend Mike always says. How do you do it? I mean, how do you make sure that we have the correct names on our voter rolls? The simple fact that we have immigration and we've had illegal immigration for many years, going back to Ronald Reagan, who allowed some 2 or 3 million illegals to stay in, I don't think we really know anymore who's a natural citizen and who's a citizen that was birthright, or who is an illegal citizen. I don't think anybody has a clue anymore. We've probably got 20 million of them here in Idaho. And until we get the states themselves, like the state of Idaho, to remove these illegals and find out who they are, we leave our voting system in jeopardy.
Well, it's pretty interesting. There was, for a good period of time, over the Biden election, as an Idahoan, I'm like, well, do we have voter fraud here in Idaho? And it was very expressly like, no, our elections are safe. You know, you telling your experience of your wife who sadly passed and still being on the voter rolls for 4 years, if it were me, it would have burned me up on the inside. I'm like, look, you know, until you got it removed, I hope you voted properly with that ballot, Bob, when you sent away for your absentee ballot for her. The fact that that possibility exists in just your example just tells you that a verification process for whether we are a citizen or not should be something that we're talking about. But this one crosses so many different lines. You know, I believe in the protection of my information. You know, where in the heck did they get my social security number in these voter rolls? I don't remember providing a social security number. They're referencing social security numbers, birth dates, things like that. But then you have a referendum coming from a president that was voted in the office to destroy illegal immigration. And on the surface, Idaho isn't playing ball. And is it in the name of protection for its citizen? Idaho, historically, until recently, I might add, was very, you know, very independent and didn't want to participate in the federalism of everything. But, you know, in the facts that were thankfully provided by our research team, I'm confirming that right now, but somewhere around 6% of Idaho's population is born to illegal children. 6%. That's 120,000 non-citizens born here that are what? What are they going to grow up to be? Citizens, voters? What is that? That's a lot of people.
Well, ergo, the reason that you do need some verification, but again, this goes back to the situation where the ag people who have controlled the state for many, many years want this illegal immigrant labor.
Yes, indeed.
And they do not want to give it up. They feel that it's a necessity. They can't pay the people who are not immigrants to do these jobs, which I don't believe. If you pay a fair wage for a job, you'll get somebody to take it.
Sure.
And if you have these great big ag people, you think about our governor who owns 33,000 acres, used to be in a sheep business, now in a cattle business. You look at our speaker, a former speaker of the House, now lieutenant governor, cattle rancher. You look at our previous governor, Butch Otter. Here's a guy that had served three terms, but he started out at the Simplot Corporation, president of the food division. Another big ag company. Simplot is the biggest landholder in Idaho. So you look at all of these things, and even when you get to the federal level, you look at Jim Rich, our senator. He is one of the biggest landowners also in Idaho. So this is all about ag. This is all about food. This is all about how they're going to continue to use immigrant labor because they don't want to pay the price to hire the people that are not immigrants.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, I couldn't agree more. Adding to a little more of the historical, don't ever forget that Butch Otter was the lieutenant governor of Cecil Andrus. Cecil Andrus is a Democrat, okay, folks? When you look at the ag industry across the nation, the ag industry is one of the most tremendously subsidized industries anywhere. In a capitalist nation, if you can't survive on your own merit, then sorry. But ag is a different business. Ag is a democratic business because it requires federal funding and it requires support. And so you connect Otter to Cecil Andrus, the concept of the Democrat Party, socialism. I mean, that's just what it said. But the things that concern me about this voter registration data is, you know, in 2017, Idaho resisted the Trump Voter Fraud Commission. Idaho was resisting this lawsuit from the Trump administration. And I'm wondering about Raul Labrador. Raul is going to represent Phil McCrane Raul is somebody who I think knows what's happening. Raul is going to, I believe, have to go defend something that he doesn't believe in it himself, which is a very interesting aspect to me for how this is.
I have my doubts about Phil McCrane. If I'm not mistaken, he is the one who took hundreds of thousands of dollars from our good friend at Meta going back a couple of years.
Yeah, why? I mean, talk about why huge problems. Of anybody, the Secretary of State that needs to be neutral in most senses of the ways, especially money and big money, I mean, that job is in control of our processed election system. That's Let a me huge tell you, problem.
It was the Secretary of State of Colorado in Denver. That was the reason. Because of the way she set up the voting, the way she set up the elections, that it wound up turning blue. Sure. Not a lot of people understand that. You know, when you get the wrong people in office, you're going to see changes take place. And just look what's happened to Boise since McClain has been a mayor.
Well, so there's some other things. I received a message from, let's just say, somebody in a very senior role as a representation of our sheriffs. Right now we have Idaho legislation that is forcing sheriffs to sign the 287G program. It's about illegal immigration. I believe that most of the sheriffs also too want to administrate illegal immigration, but I'm aware that a senior Trump official, which I believe was referenced to me as this chief of staff, had called the leaders of our state and said, you will get this bill passed. You have Senator Kelly Anthon that's desking illegal immigration reform in Idaho. If you take
Excuse me. That is not Kelly Anthon.
Well, he's certainly a part of it.
He is part
of it. There's a House and a Senate here.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Right. So my point is that the senior leadership of our House, of our Senate, Brad Little, are essentially obstructing the Trump administration, which this country fully went for in all of their motivations. And in Idaho, we're just like, well, that seems weird. Why? You know, big ag is bigger than we realize, and it's all government subsidy. It's all federal money.
How much federal money do you think they put into ag last year?
You know, Bob, you're a studied man on the questions you ask me. You know the answer, and I many times know.
You'll be shocked to hear it was $30 billion.
Oh, for nationwide, $30 billion.
Yes, $30 billion.
Yeah, I mean, slice that up amongst the states, right? So in this, back to this subject of the Trump Department of Justice suing Idaho over voter rolls, I'm torn. I'm like, I'm a believer in my personal information, but if you'll allow me to, we both are lucky enough to receive quality information. If you'll allow me to call out what we both miss, you ask me what we start off with. What both sides are missing is a federated data matching system could verify citizenship without transferring the complete files. The saved database already exists for the benefits of just verification. The state could run matches against the Department of Homeland Security data and report results without ever handling the Social Security numbers. This technical solution could resolve both integrity concerns. It's a little bit about partnership, but that's the functional tool here is to get a state database that matches with a federal database. Look at how many problems that creates. Let's go back to a scenario in Texas where a man went into one of our bases and shot up a bunch of people to all find out that at the state level in Texas, he was actually prosecuted for an aggressive crime before, but because that state's database didn't match up with the federal, just about equal sharing, he was able to legally go buy a firearm that ended up shooting all of those people. I'm not nearly suggesting that we give the federal control and access of that data, but the partnership of that data is better together when it comes to being on the singular mission of whatever we're working for. And if that's illegal immigration, if that's real citizens voting, I mean, I got to say I support it, but it just looks like the Idaho state leadership here is blocking anything of our process in the name of what you said, just a stinking profit.
Let's bring it down to an even bigger level. 40% of the money we use for our state budget comes from the feds.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a socialist state to me.
Yeah, it is a socialist state. It's not a maybe, it is.
Sure.
And when it comes right down to it, McCrane, one way or another, is going to give the feds what they want. Or he's going to start seeing the guillotine come down on the cash that's given to Idaho.
Well, okay, let's talk about McCrane. Good guy, bad guy, we don't know. But when you have a state that is signaling at the senior levels of leadership that they don't want to remove the illegal immigrants from our state, and you have a secretary of state, he's like, wow, do I support the team that I work for here, or do I support the Trump administration? He's damned if he does. He's damned if he doesn't. He's a pawn in all of it, in reality.
Well, whether he's a pawn or not, the simple case remains that we have an immigration problem in Idaho.
Sure.
Nobody wants to address it. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. We have three bills that are there to address it. But then we have Senator Guthrie, who is holding them in his desk.
Sure, Guthrie and Anton.
So we have people in Idaho who want to correct the problem, but we have those. And Guthrie, by the way, is also, excuse me, he runs cattle and runs a grocery store. Yeah. So again, we're back into the ag business, and those same people who are supporting the immigrants to stay here. And nobody wants to admit it. It's like the big secret is now out. How do they get around it?
Well, so I think about this as a user level. You know, I go to the grocery store and I'm actually been around a little bit, right? I believe in good people and there's bad people. You know, when I go into the grocery store and I see clearly an immigrant, you know, with all of their children, and whether they're citizens or not, that's certainly one thing. That's very important to me, right? I believe in citizens. But when you've got 6% of the children born in Idaho in its total population, mark my words, all 6% of those kids are supported through the Medicaid system, 120,000 of them. Right? Yeah. And then now we have this birthright citizenship conversation, which the concept of an acre baby is real. Mark my words, it's real. It's not just 120,000 kids. It's the entire family. It's the mom, it's the dad, it's smiles. You know, these kids, it's not like I don't want dental for kids, but I'm sorry. I'm a small business. I don't pay for healthcare insurance right now because it's a waste. I've done the math. I don't get my health care covered and I'm paying the tax. I mean, every time you see a family of all that, you know that the great majority of them is in our Medicaid rolls. And there again is a federal money problem that's coming into Idaho and we're being controlled.
Look, between providing education and medical care for illegal children, we are talking in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 million of our budget every year. And we don't even know how much, and you talked some big numbers on Medicaid, I would not be surprised if they're not larger than that. The problem is nobody wants to address it. If you if you take a look and go back through history and how we wound up with all the problems we have, even Medicaid expansion. You kill Medicaid expansion, you take $1.2 billion off the budget, okay? That's a big part of what happens for the freebies we give out, not just to illegals, but to people who just don't want to work. If you receive Medicaid or Medicare, you need to work if you're an able-bodied person. And by the same token, you need to pay into it. Most of these people, they don't pay into it. We get $60 million a year from illegals, $60 million in tax money. Yet we put out almost $400 million.
It's like trade imbalances, right? I mean, it's deficit. It's deficits everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So why do we allow it to continue? Nothing was done in this legislative session about it. Zero.
Well, I want to say this, Bob. I appreciate the fact that that we have to make ourselves aware first. And anytime you and I talk, and anybody that's listening to this, know that, you know, Bob and I don't just wake up in the morning and just pull something out of the air. I think that Bob and I both probably consume this thinking for 90% of our waking life and are researching this and are hopefully going to put it in a verbal way to help people see where, look, we've got to know who the people are who are acting like they say they are acting and the people who are not. Guthrie, he is utterly not. Kelly Anthon, utterly not. I'm critical on the Brad Little organization. He talks conservative, but when you look at the amount of social spending exploding all over the place and budget growth and all this stuff, that is anything but conservative. So we've got to look at the actions here. And, you know, as Idahoans, you can be complacent or take action, and hopefully this will spark some thought and action.
From your lips to God's ears, my friend, but I doubt it's going to happen anytime soon. Anything that you need to change in Idaho, especially in this arena, is going to have to be forced. And I don't see that happening yet. When you're holding up 3 immigration bills, when you want to pay for teachers' dues, I mean, that's not telling me that we want to fix things. That's telling me, let's just continue to go down this crooked road and continue to be as crooked as possible.
Well, so the evidence of corruption is apparent, right? As a republic, the process of elections is very important. I can't tell you how frustrating it is. It's like, well, why would anybody run? Brad's just going to win. Why would Brad debate? He's just going to win. I'm sorry, but all of us should be respecting the process. And if that process might make you a little bit at risk, like you might not win, well, why? Why? Is it because it allows for the truth to come out to make us all find out what's really happening? When you have an organization that is avoiding the process, it is proving the concept of that said corruption. And, you know, it's something really bad is going to have to happen to get it to change, or I hope you like Colorado. I hope you like marijuana in normal shops looking like cartoon candy shops, you know? I hope you like states that ban more than 10 round magazines, you know, like things that are really in the basis of our true republic. And we are on the doorstep today.
We're 10 years away from becoming Colorado.
Yeah, I agree.
It's happening, and it's happening very quickly in a time frame. It took about 20 years for a Colorado to turn blue. And I remember it because I worked and lived there back in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And I saw what was happening very clearly. Much of the reason it changed had to do with technology moving in. The tech companies moved into Colorado, and with them came the liberalization of the state. They brought it with them. We are having the same thing happen here in many cases. I mean, I don't know whether you see it, but I see it down in the Boise area where we have already turned blue. See where most of those people work. See what most of them do. See what where they came from.
They work for the state. They work for big Micron, Albertsons, you know, HP before HP left. That makes you wonder why that happened. There's social concept and living realities. And anybody that's in the name of a conservative Idaho knows what the living reality is of that social concept. And you better get ready. You better get out there and get something done with it.
Well, it's no different than somebody like Simpson. Why does he continually get reelected? Most of the money for his reelection campaigns comes from out of state. But the people that he serves in the district he serves, they're all ag, almost all ag.
Sure.
And again, you go back to the same problem. Everybody needs to eat. Everybody likes milk. Everybody likes beef. But we pay a price for that here.
Well, yeah, we're paying lots of big prices for, I mean, just look at fuel in Idaho. Like fuel is a great example, which is ridiculous too. When ag is fuel, diesel at $6 a gallon in Idaho, trust me, big ag will be going back to the federal bank account begging for more money because they aren't making any. And that's a social program.
But why is that?
You know, I wish I could talk the fuel. I think you've studied the fuel problem much better than I have, but that's such a tremendous impact on our for our production.
You receive fuel, and I'm just hoping that Alberta decides to become part of the United States. You realize that you could run a pipeline from Alberta, one of the biggest oil producers, down into through Idaho, if you really wanted to,
sure,
and put a refinery in. There are only 14 refineries in the country. One of them is down in Salt Lake City. Where do you think most of our gasoline comes from?
Yeah, and Utah is turning blue almost faster than we are, and they're not playing nice.
Well, not only that, there was a suggestion that they tax us 25 cents a gallon for shipping it up here.
Right. And trust me, the shipping ain't for free either. I'm going to do this, Bob. I'm going to throw one back at you. We had a couple of thoughts today. That was on my mind, the Department of Justice suing Idaho for its voter rolls. Back to the voter rolls. Yeah, it's like, who's protecting who here? A lot of questions. We'll see some news come out, but you had some stuff you were thinking about. What came to your mind in a subject today?
The first thing was listening to the president last night. And yes, this war is going to continue to go on for another 3 to 4 weeks.
Sure.
Before we finally end it. Oil popped almost $10 a barrel this morning for no apparent reason, because we don't use the oil from the Hormuz Strait. But when you take a look at what I'm paying for gasoline up here yesterday, it was $4.34 a gallon. I assure you today that it will be $4.60 a gallon.
Well, and I'm a diesel fool. I'm a fool. I drive diesel. You know, I'm in the six range now. I might as well live in LA. And what you just said, you live by the world currency, you die by the world currency. It is not just a simple problem.
No, and believe me, I understand that better than anybody spending 30, 40 years on Wall Street. I see what goes on in the markets. I see what happens with oil. I mean, I'm looking today and I see crude oil at $111 a barrel. There is no way in hell it should be that high here. And there should be no reason that our diesel is at $6 or that our gas is at $4.30 or 40 or 50 cents a gallon. That is just ludicrous. And when they say that they're preparing or inventory problems, and they're trying to keep the product at a reasonable level, that is just so much BS. I have seen it happen up here time and time again. I asked one of my people down in the gas station store why they raised their price 20 cents a gallon. And the simple answer was because they can.
I mean, seriously, Bob, also the gas station across the street could lower it by 10 cents a gallon. So, you know, unless you do have a scenario where the organization that owns Maverick and the organization that owns Jackson's, we have some potential growing antitrust scenarios of monopolies of fuel in Idaho.
We can't sue them anymore.
It's yes. And it's also, it's classic. It's too big to go down now. It's like the vehicle industry in 2008. I'm sorry, General Motors. You should have went down. All those banks that loaned out all that money for inappropriate reasons and the TARP money that came in to support them, I'm sorry. You all should have went bankrupt. That is how the core of the system should function. But in the war of Iran, you mention it. I'm like, these are bad people.
No question about it.
I mean, what, like, the process of the political nature of America, I support my president, and he is the executive chief and commander of that military force of people that are murdering people. We should be spinning cookies on their foxholes and smacking them back into the ground any way that we can. We're all looking at this war powers resolution, right? It's all about who's got more control. The judiciocracy, as somebody we hear talk about. We talk about the House having control, the Senate having control. You know, this is, he's got 60 days to unleash everything he's utterly got. And I hope it puts him in to dust.
Well, while we're looking at the immediate threat, which was the nuclear threat, we forget about the silent threat that's been taking place here for the last 20, 30 years. And that's what they're talking about now, which is the birthright citizenship.
Yes.
But not just the birthright citizenship. It's the people who are in this country illegally, and nobody seems to be able to get them out. We've taken about 2 or 3 million out so far since Trump was elected. But there are still 10 to 15 million roaming our streets, living in our big cities, particularly the sanctuary cities. And herein lies the problem. How many children are these immigrants having while they are here illegally? And how many will be given that birthright citizenship? Which, from what I understand today, it looks like Trump's going to lose this case. And unless this is changed by Congress, we're going to be stuck with the situation. In about another 20 years, we're going to look like England or France or Germany.
So I struggle with what's happening. Like, my heart just wishes Trump could win because I believe that it's the right thing to do. I also believe in the process of our constitutional republic, about how very important words and amendments are related to what it is. And the judges that are evaluating this, it's embarrassing to me to have somebody like Justice. Oh my goodness, Ketanji, she comparing this to somebody stealing in Japan. And there's so much more to this. It's almost just embarrassing in that sense. But it's like, okay, so we need to change the law. We need to congressionally get this done. Well, we got a midterm election coming up here. If we don't get the SAVE Act done, I mean, there are two such huge pieces that we're getting drowned in our problems that wasn't created by Donald Trump. It was created by Obama and O'Biden, period. Obama came out and said, we are going to change the face of America. We're going to change America. Well, you got it. We're looking at it, my friend.
He's the one who gave the birthright citizenship its first opinion for the courts.
For sure.
And
he utilized that, very strategically utilized that in the name of humanity.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of other people who are involved in this problem that we currently have. But yeah, you can put a lot of it on Obama. You can put some of it on Biden. Trump is going to have a difficult time trying to get this through the Supreme Court. I doubt if it's going to happen, to be very honest. My opinion. I'm not an attorney, but from everything I've heard so far, this just is not going to happen. But on the other hand, there is a way to get rid of the illegals that are here and as quickly as possible, because they are going to be the real problem. If you want to know why Germany, France, and England did not come to our aid in Iraq, I want you to think about the number of Muslims who currently live in these countries because they opened their borders.
And gave Sharia law, established precedent, established a legal basis for existing. You must refute the legal basis. Giving somebody Medicaid in Idaho is establishing a legal basis for existence, right?
Like, I don't disagree with you. I think you're absolutely right. But we do not have the legislators with the will to change it. And that tells you something about where Idaho is going.
Well, so say one thing, do another thing, typical politics. And it's Idaho is one mostly aligned to scratch the back of the corporation and the large entity. It's something we both talked about a lot. We hear it. We talk about it. You know, where's the support for local small business in Idaho? The illegal immigration problem is, I think what it ultimately did this year is it highlighted the devil of our legislature, who's Guthrie, the legislator who's not putting forward bills that the process should vote on. And ultimately, what are they doing? They're protecting a governor's election, because when that bill comes across Brad Little's desk to sign or veto, that's a heavy, heavy, heavy pressure, because you know he needs to, for his own special interest, veto it. And when you do, what does that do? It puts him potentially at grave risk. So it might change some votes for this primary.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, as I said before, I don't see that happening. They have a grip on this state. We have a governor, sitting governor, going into a primary election with over $1.5 million in his coffers, well more than any other candidate that would be going up against him. And believe me, they're going to fill the airwaves with how good he is, what he has done for this state. Nobody's going to down talk him except people like you and I.
Yeah, and there are people talking. Why? So let's clarify some things. Bob, tell me the last paycheck that you've got for getting up and doing what you do every day.
I don't get a paycheck anymore.
Thank you for pointing that out. Let me tell you how many paychecks I've got for waking up and thinking about Idaho and what's happening every day. Zero, right? You get what you pay for. And if you listen to the paid content, then you have to ask yourself why. Well, if you're listening to Governor Brad Little, that's paid content, folks. It's called Paid For by the Idaho Association for Commerce and Industry. It is about the people that all want to keep their, I mean, I've heard it said and I'm like, goodness gracious, in the history books, is it slave labor? I mean, it's essentially slave labor.
We still have a low wage of $7.25 minimum wage here in Idaho. And to be very honest with you, that shouldn't be. I don't think it should be anything. Look, as if you're going to work for somebody, you negotiate with the employer. And what will happen eventually is that it will reach a level that becomes customary and becomes the level that most people will not work below. What was happening with the illegals for many years is they would pay for their housing, they would pay for their food, they would have them on their ranches. Some of them would be living in barns. I mean, I've seen this in the building industry where you would have 20 or 30 illegals working for a building contractor, and I would see them all at lunch in one house, all sitting down, squatting down, and all eating the same food from the same stove that they're cooking it on. Okay. Sure.
And can we fault them for that? That's just unified people, you know.
I don't blame them. I blame the politicians for allowing this to take place. I don't know how we change it, because you have to change the politicians. And for some reason, we seem to be stuck with all of these people who only care about the corporations and not about the people who actually pay the real taxes. When you come down to it, the corporations don't pay anywhere near the taxes that the people do.
Yeah, and it's a system, right? It's a W-2 system. Let's also remind everybody that when you focus on big business, you're focusing on the W-2. The W-2 tax system is perfected, and they get every penny out of that. When you work on a W-2, what you made is reported in fact, and you will pay your fact tax upon it. That is a soft slavery system. Trust me, when you're on a W-2 and you need to go take care of something, you don't want to show up to work that day or something happens, you're not an independent. You are a slave to your W-2 status, which is also directly connected to the financial system. If you've got a W-2 and you want to go get a loan of any kind, easy. If you're a small business and you want to go get a loan of any kind, the analysis of your life under every single layer, but the small business person is not so easy to tax. So what is the obvious nature of what they're going to do? It's big business. It's trackable tax dollars. It's why things like the grocery tax exist, because they've grabbed a hold of it and they can't let the independent be free. They can't let the independent gain power, because every independent that gains power in small business is a loss for that tax collection system.
Now, what it is, they continue to keep people poor. The poorer the people are, the more wealthy those in charge are. I go back to the simple situation that who's the biggest employer in the state?
State of Idaho.
There you go. How many people do you think are on Medicaid?
Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting how many people are on Medicaid. How are we not? We should be celebrating how many got off.
How many people are on a SNAP program? You combine those three entities, all right, and the teachers. You have a voting block with their families. Sure. Bar none is the swing vote in any election here in Idaho. I've been saying that for years. Nobody wants to believe it, but this is the truth.
And you add 6% of Idaho's children being born essentially illegal immigrants having children born in Idaho, which gives them, now we're going to find out, citizenship. Do you think that one human is one-to-one impact? No, it's probably more like 1 to 20, where that one now citizen is going to be the foothold for 20 others from somewhere else in this world to drive, to come back and be a part of that single connected point.
But you see, it's not just one group. There are others that keep coming into our country. When you look at the Chinese that have come in, just the ones that cross the border, we're talking literally thousands, 30 to 40 or 50,000 that have crossed our border and that are living here now. And believe me, they're not here to help us, because you can't get out of China without an okay from the government. So what do you think they're here for?
I mean, so it's hard to unpack all that. I really try to come back to the Idaho shell game. Okay. In the Idaho shell game, if you're an organization like the little organization that's actually, in my personal opinion, folks, that is protecting the illegal immigrants, we're feeding them, we're diapering them, we're taking care of their medical, we're doing dental. We've got veterans. Veterans do not get dental care. Don't ever forget that, by the way.
I know.
We've got that happening, but somebody has to take the blame. Who's taking the blame? It is the sheriffs. There is a two-part thing happening in all of this right now. Idaho is perfect opinion here, and I've talked to a lot of sheriff's folks. I know what I'm talking about. Idaho is reducing funding to the counties for their sheriffs. House Bill 389 is a part of that. That reduced property tax for new construction. You've heard me say that, just the new, not the existing homes. That hurt the county budget. The sheriffs across the board are hurting. And so now the state comes down and says, you will do all this illegal immigration and we're not giving you any extra money to do so. They've passed the buck onto the sheriffs as the ones that are responsible for our illegal immigration problems. And once the sheriffs go down, this is a communist tactic, by the way. Don't ever forget that in communism, one of the first things that you do is to belittle and destroy your police force. So then you can reinstall your own police force.
Governmental oriented.
Yes, but state oriented.
Exactly.
Don't ever forget that during COVID, the sheriffs were the only ones that were able to constitutionally stand up and say, I'm not enforcing the mask law in this business. I'm not enforcing businesses being shut down. Brad Little was not happy about that. So they're dumping all of the pressure onto the sheriffs. And mark my words, Idaho State Police, an article 2 days ago, just came out and requested more funding. They will get that money, and your sheriff is being reduced to a low impact, and you will have a state-funded police force that is at the behest of a single individual, and it's playing out right now. Mark my words, that is transpiring.
Well, let me ask you a question. Right now, they're transferring about 800 of Idaho's prisoners down to Arizona to a private prison. We're paying $85 a day to put them there. Costs $98 a day to keep them here. Where are they going to, if they do ever get to arrest these people, where are they going to put them?
So that goes down to the sheriff's story. Once again, I'll use the town of Moscow. Okay. When you drive into Moscow, Idaho, if you ever have, there is a brand new city police building. And that city police building, I don't know how many millions and millions of dollars that police building costs. But in Latah County, when you go to the sheriff's building is over 50 years old. It is clear there's no more jail capacity. They haven't added to jail capacity in decades. Moscow is growing. Idaho's population is growing. They're not adding jail capacity to match that growth. So then they're trying to send. So not only that, the state is forcing counties to take on prisoners. Canyon County is beyond capacity. So what is the end result?
They put them in containers, don't they?
Well, every single day, your sheriff has to meet with the prosecutor of that county every day.
And let out criminals.
Who's the worst? Who's the least of the worst to let out?
Yep.
They're deciding.
Yep. That's exactly what's happening.
It's a game. It's trust me, it is. When the sheriff stood up against COVID, I personally know, I've talked to Samuel Hulse personally. I've talked to Kieran Donahue personally. I've talked to Matt Clifford personally. Those are your three largest populated counties. Since COVID, the sheriffs of Idaho have not been invited to a legislative conversation in Idaho since. Why? Because the sheriffs are the only single last living authority to the Constitution that can stand up against your state leadership.
Because they're elected locally.
They're elected locally. And they are diminishing your county. That is, and I could go to facts on that. That is, the state is acting like a federal government to those counties right now. And your sheriff, you should be thankful for your sheriff. If you don't like him, get him out. But your sheriff is your last stand.
Do you see why I'm saying we're going to start looking more and more like Colorado?
It's state police, man.
Trust me. Handwriting's on a wall, my friend.
When seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And when issues happen, the police are already there. They want you out. You will be out, especially in a state police force. That truly should be the greatest concern of all Idahoans. I truly believe that.
I want you to think about something. We have border states, Oregon, Washington, California, Montana. Which one of those states is conservative?
I don't believe any of them are anymore, Bob, honestly. Nevada's got a blip of coming back to save itself. Utah is beyond. Montana, so the movie, the TV show Yellowstone, I worked on the Hershey Ranch. The Hershey is hundreds of thousands of acres. I worked for Jack Hershey. In the last episode of the Yellowstone, it says, thank you to the Hershey Ranch. That's where I worked as a kid. Those legacy ranches, that TV show, the reason why it's happening is because it is real. That was just a story to tell what happened in Montana. Now in the Big Hole Valley, which is in Jackson and Wisdom, Montana, that's real ranchy stuff there. Those aren't owned by real legacy people anymore. Those are all billionaires that have come in and bought up that ground. And it is going to be, it's a TV show.
Yeah, it's also a new liberal bastion.
Absolutely. So what's happening in Idaho? We have a problem that started way back. And don't ever forget that Democrats ran this state. And through Butch Otter and his continuing on of what Cecil Andrus exacerbated, it's all in the name of, I'm just a good, nice guy that likes to do this, and we are doing good for Idaho. And you got to look at the actions here, folks.
Look, the Democrats have become what I call Republicrats, because we don't have real Republicans in Idaho, aside from a very few who actually observe conservatism. And it's shrinking every year, every time we have an election. And this is what I say, you know, when you're surrounded by the bad guys, which is what we are, including Utah. I mean, we are surrounded. Wyoming might be a little bit of a bastion still, but that's moving further and further to the left. They are unrelenting. They do not stop, and they infiltrate into these offices, in the legislative offices, and slowly but surely, they take all of our rights away, and they become an entity unto themselves. I have seen this happen in New Jersey, Illinois, Colorado. I mean, I've lived in these states. I've seen it happen. And it's exactly what they do and what's happening in our state right now. And if the people don't stand up and wake up, it's not going to change. The scenario is bad.
Well, I've got a suggestion, Bob, for I hope to have another conversation with you. Okay. I think that many people can relate to what we're talking about. We're highlighting a problem that I believe many people understand that is real. Many people know that it's transpiring, but much of them are left with, what can I do? What can I really do about this? Yes, elections have consequences. We have a primary coming up. You know, I would love to maybe talk about what we can do, like what is something we can do, or somebody that we could support, or you know, some actions that we can promulgate here, if you're open to that. But of course, on any subject you want to talk about, I'm open.
Well, I kind of can relate Idaho to Iran. Let me tell you how I do that. The MOAs run everything. The RGC, they run everything. Here in Idaho, we have our own MOAs.
Yep.
I call them legislative MOAs. And they run everything. How do you change that? I guess you go to war with them.
Well, at least in America, in Idaho today, our war is elections. And be careful of your GOP. Think with your brains. Don't just trust the word of somebody else in the sense of the GOP, because the GOP in Idaho is bought and paid for in some senses. There are good ones and there are bad ones, but the process, this is about the process of an election. In the process of an election, there should be some town halls. There should be some debates. There should be some public display of candidates available to the people to source that out. And that is not happening. Your elections are being governed by Facebook posts to say, go vote for this guy. Go talk to somebody that you know that's not in it. Go talk to somebody that you know that's a leader in town or that has an impact. Go talk to the people that aren't getting paid to produce this information and collect it for yourself, because the machine of the GOP in Idaho is, man, it's a testy one.
I can't argue with you. Excuse me. You're absolutely right. Like I said, I was part of that group going back 10, 15 years. And was a prison commitment for 6 years. I found out from being there and being inside what was going on to see what was happening. And the change was taking place back then. It has taken 10 years to get to where we are now. And like I said, in 10 more years, if we don't change it and the people don't wake up, we are going to wind up being something that none of us really want to be. So the change is taking place, and it's really up to the citizens to wake up. All I can do is turn on the alarm. I can't push them out of the bed. You can just turn on the alarm and set it off, but you can't push them out of the bed. They don't want to wake up, and that is the problem.
Yeah, and I agree. Unfortunately, there's this thing happening where when you're saying, I've had people tell me, don't tell people you're a native Idahoan. They don't like that. And I'm like, why? I'm utterly proud. Why should I have to hide that status? The native Idahoan is anti-confrontational. They for good or for bad, they don't want the confrontation. It is why they don't like Mark Fitzpatrick. Mark Fitzpatrick came out with Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. That annoys me to death. That is not my fighting tactic, but he at least is fighting on the side of anti-woke, right? So these people are bringing their tools from other states that are offensive to the Idahoan, which is what we want to believe, which is in spirited debate. Bob, we disagree, but we just talk about it, right? I don't launch campaigns to dox you. I don't talk like a 15-year-old. I don't run my whole social campaign. The native Idahoan doesn't want to have to fight. And I'm sorry, if you're listening, you're a native Idahoan, or you moved here because you like what that is. I hate to tell you, it's time to get involved. Whether you want to or not, you will 10 years from now, like Tea Party Bob is here saying today, are going to look back and wonder why we were the greatest Second Amendment state in the union and wonder why we're passing magazine bans and doing things like that. We're going to turn into, there will be marijuana sold like candy. Go drive through one of the marijuana store areas in Oregon. It looks like they're marketing it with cartoons, right? Like,
well, better yet, go shopping there sometime on a weekend and see the continuous stream of Idaho license plates that go in and out of Ontario.
Well, and homeless people laying in front of the grocery store, right? All for marijuana. So I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you, Bob, and to engage. And I commit to anybody listening, if I'm ever on the Idaho Pulse, I just want you to know, if I'm talking about it, it's because I've researched it, I'm being helped with research, or I've actually talked to some of these people. And I'm very conscious with using names, because in the usage of names, trust me, Bob knows this too. If the machine doesn't like you, they will scrub you out of business through lawfare. And that is happening in Idaho too. So even Bob and I saying what we're saying, the simple wrong thing said that got the right people listening could put Bob and I in a situation. And you think that that's silly if you're hearing it, but I'm telling you, it's utterly true.
Yeah, like the time I had a state trooper car follow me for 2 hours going down to the valley. And I was only doing 65. He stayed right behind me.
With your gut's telling you, you know what's going on.
I know where the target is. It's on my back most of the time.
Thank goodness for that, Bob, because that says you're getting it done, my friend. Have been for a long time. Thank you.
Well, don't expect me to tell you next time I'm coming down.
Oh, I won't. I just, you know, I want to make sure you're safe, you know.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time today. Let's do this again soon.
Anytime, Bob. I'd love to catch up, my friend.
Okay. Thank you again for all the listeners for listening into this particular podcast. We hope to be back again next week, give you another rendition of what's going on in our state and why it's happening.